please.
I think it's cool when you can punish people that use it.
Yeah, you have a different stance. Council.
Good morning. Timothy McCrum for petitioners Murray Energy Company and its affiliated subsidiaries. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
As you have seen in the last case, we don't pay any attention to this.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, Murray Energy Companies challenged the decision by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to authorize the construction and operation of the Rockies Express gas pipeline, one of the largest natural gas pipelines in the country, directly across the largest operating underground longwall coal mining operation in the state of Ohio, which is producing coal 24 hours per day and relied upon by electric power plants in Ohio and several surrounding states.
Help me understand, if we were to agree with you on any of your arguments, it's already been built, right? The pipeline's been built. What happens?
The pipeline is built. The critical question is what safeguards will be applied to this pipeline going forward to protect it from rupture and explosion in the event of land subsidence, which is not a question but a certainty with a longwall mining operation.
What would our order look like if we rule with you in this case? What would we be saying?
We would seek a remand to FERC that would ask for reevaluation of Condition 147 and the lack of specific requirements governing this pipeline operation going forward. There were minimum.
But you're not arguing that an alternate route should be chosen, right? I mean, that horse is out of the barn.
The train has left the station on the pipeline construction, Your Honor. We believe there's no question that the safeguards going forward is very much a very live dispute. And I would also point out that if this matter is remanded back to FERC and they do a real hard look at the safeguards for the pipeline, as they should have done before, FERC may well conclude that a minor readjustment is appropriate. That would be in its discretion. It's certainly
a minor readjustment is appropriate. I don't think that. To me, your strongest argument is on the collaboration. But I'm trying to think. So, if I agreed with you on the collaboration point, what do we do? I mean, the point of the collaboration, according to your argument, was to reach consensus. No consensus was reached here. The charter documents here say there. Therefore, you find an alternate route. But that's not possible here.
Yes, Your Honor, you're right that the condition required collaboration between the companies, not mere consultation.
Right. So, but if I agreed with you that I'm not there yet, but if I want to hear more from your opposing counsel on that, but if I agreed with you, what do I do?
Well, I'll just try to make it clear one more time that the question of
It takes more than once.
The question of what these minimum safety requirements would apply to this pipeline.
So you're saying you go back and collaborate on the minimum safety requirements, but that's not what.
Well, FERC clarification order made it very clear that the collaboration was intended to result in a suitable plan to preserve the integrity of the pipeline.
Think that could still be done?
Yes. Okay. And the minimum safety requirements that Murray's engineering experts that had specific experience with longwall mining subsidence under gas pipelines, they stated that when
if this... back and you couldn't reach consensus on the safety requirements, then where are we?
Well, it still requires FERC to act as a proper regulatory body to evaluate the suitability of these conditions. They impose that condition.
The term of that collaboration provision provided the alternative would be an alternative route. And if we are in a posture where that's no longer an available remedy, how do we import a reexamination of safety conditions into a collaboration condition that didn't contemplate that precisely?
Your Honor, the condition clearly contemplated a substantive element to it, and the primary focus was preserving the integrity of the pipeline while allowing longwall mining to not be impeded and to continue.
Counsel, we're focusing squarely on the last three lines of the original FERC order. Finally, while we did not require the alternative southern route in the May 30 order, the order does not preclude the Commission from adopting an alternative southern route in the future if Rockies Express and Murray's companies cannot agree on a suitable plan. I gather, if I understand you correctly, I think your argument, but I'm not sure, is although that statement seems to give you a veto, it says that the Commission is not precluded from adopting an alternative southern route, but it leaves open whether the Commission could do something else if you exercise your veto.
Well,
is that your point?
Your Honor, we have made it clear in our briefs that we have not contended we have a unilateral veto authority. We have said that it implied.
I don't understand why you're saying you don't have it. You cannot. I think that's the strongest argument you have.
Sentence in that condition 147, if the collaboration does not culminate in a plan, Rockies Express shall file with the Secretary for review and written approval by the Director of OEP an alternative pipeline route that avoids the Murray Company's coal.
Well, you are
that
correct.
Sounds like an agreement that might have, or a condition that might have been construed as giving you.
Well, you're right, Judge Silberman, that it the literal reading of that would come quite close to that.
It sounds like you've got it. If you can't agree on a suitable plan.
We would concede that if we were to have some arbitrary or act in bad faith,
I don't understand why you're conceding a point that is in your favor. There's something I'm losing here.
Well, no, Your Honor, we had viewed collaboration as implying a working together on the plan. But yes, you're absolutely correct that
then it seems to me it doesn't say that if you can't agree, the alternative is another route. It says it does not preclude the Commission from adopting an alternative.
If you look at condition 127 itself, that last sentence in 127 says, if the collaboration does not culminate in a plan, Rockies Express shall file with the Secretary for review and written approval by the Director of OEP an alternative pipeline route that avoids Murray Company Coal Reserve.
That's true.
Yes.
It does seem.
Yes, Your Honor.
That one does. I'm sort of confused.
We do believe that with what occurred here, it was not collaboration within the meaning of that provision, and that when Rockies Express proceeded unilaterally with its plan, over our objection, that was a arbitrary action that should not have occurred.
Counsel, here's what we're trying to figure out. If this is as a paradigm, that you do have a veto, or you did have a veto, and if you exercise the veto, the only alternative was an alternative pipeline, an alternative process, then, as Judge Griffith points out, that's moot.
Well, Your Honor,
I'm a little confused.
It's not entirely moot that a route adjustment could still be carried out. This pipeline was constructed 1,700 miles. Numerous route adjustments were made along it, and the fact that FERC chose to proceed and authorize construction without a proper plan in place and without Murray's collaboration in the process, a remand could involve a alternative route around this mine. But we would also say that there is a substantive element to this plan, which was that it had to preserve pipeline integrity and be suitable, and that it could be remanded and should be remanded for reevaluation of the plan itself.
See, that's a weaker argument, at least up mm-hmm. here, because you've got experts, you've got dueling experts, and, you know, none of us are experts in this, and at that level, the standard of review cuts against you.
We certainly recognize that, Judge Griffith, that in the typical case with dueling experts, that would be the approach that a reviewing court would take. But in this case, where we have conflict within Rockies Express experts themselves, we have Dr. Nyman, who initially advised against
FERC spoke to all that and had rational explanations for it.
Well, then
that's all they need to do with us.
Judge Griffith, the other element that we think is particularly strong here is that although we had division on Rockies Express own experts, then the neutral Federal Pipeline Safety Administration came in June of 2009 and weighed in supporting our views.
Do they have their own responsibility for the pipeline now, counsel?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
They have their own responsibility for the pipeline.
They have responsibility, Your Honor, but as you know, a agency can only act through promulgated regulations or in site-specific permit conditions. There is no specific regulation of the Pipeline Safety Administration that governs the unique and unusual circumstance of this pipeline running across an active, subsiding longwall mine. So FERC
may not be specific to that circumstance, but they do something over there.
They have general regulatory authority, and that's never been in dispute. But here in this case, the question was what site-specific conditions should be imposed on this hazardous circumstance. And FERC imposed an obligation to do a site-specific review, then took it upon itself to consult with the agency that had the most expertise, which they acknowledged regarding this. And they went and consulted, and the Pipeline Safety Agency.
That agency has no authority to have imposed any regulation itself on this.
They could go through a rulemaking process. It would take a few years and comply with a lot of procedural and substantive requirements.
Nothing currently within their regulation.
There is no current regulation.
Here. Now, it's two different things to say nothing specifically covers this. And to say that it would be relevant regulations.
They have general safety regulatory authority, but in this case, that Pipeline Safety Agency, after being consulted by FERC, came up with a customized set of minimum safety requirements that included excavating the pipeline prior to and during subsidence, the very same thing the Murray engineers with actual experience with this had sought. And then FERC ignored that and has been very contradictory.
They didn't ignore it. You'd be in great shape if they'd ignored it. They did refer to it.
They referred to it.
They did not ignore it. Now, don't come up here and tell us they ignored it when they have it laid out in black and white in their comment, their opinion.
Your Honor, they did speak to it.
They did not ignore it.
They spoke to it, but they failed to impose those requirements.
Now, is that not moot?
It is not moot, Your Honor. Those requirements could still be imposed and would provide protection for the future.
Are they required to impose those? I mean, don't they have discretion? This was.
They would have had to provide a coherent rationale for why they were not following those requirements. Instead, they said these are methods that work. The staff memo says these are methods that work to protect pipelines, and then they failed to impose minimum.
I'm reading from my notes that in the rehearing order, the FERC said that REX must comply with the regulations, with the PHMSA regulations.
Yes, Your Honor, that's exactly the contradiction. They say comply with the regulations. There's no dispute about that, but these minimum safety requirements are not set forth in the Pipeline Safety Administration's regulations. Yeah. That's how they essentially have spoke to it in an ambiguous, contradictory manner, and failed to impose these minimum safety requirements that the Murray engineers with actual experience had been urging. And then unbeknownst to Murray, this Pipeline Safety Administration is consulted by FERC, and lo and behold, they come in and impose the very same minimum safety requirements that our experts had been advocating. And even some of Rockies Express's own experts had acknowledged that these minimum requirements, such as excavating the pipeline before the land drops several feet with a high-pressure gas pipeline running across the surface.
Well, Council, coming back to this veto point, I gather you're really pointing out that you were much more reasonable in your arguments here and before FERC as to that, than you did not argue you had a veto.
We didn't argue that we had a veto that could be exercised without any basis. We believed that we had a good faith obligation to collaborate and seek to.
But if there was good faith, you didn't have a flat veto, did you?
It was not a flat veto authority, but it was.
I just wanted to get that reasonable concession on your part.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
The other factors that need to be kept in mind here is that this circumstance we're dealing with was a product of a series of agency errors that are really without dispute. This pipeline was routed across the underground mine erroneously and without knowledge, first by Rockies Express, as in their own resource report, which was a required obligatory report submitted to the agency and stated erroneously that there was no underground mine in this area. Then FERC accepted that in the draft environmental impact statement. It repeated this statement that there was no mine present in the area. This is also in the context.
Long ago been corrected, though, right?
I mean, they
everybody agrees there's a mine in here.
They've corrected that, and the reason why it's relevant, though, is it shows how the compressed schedule for the pipeline construction allowed this entire process to fail FERC to fail to have the rigorous review that was needed for this. They were trying to meet the schedule demands of the pipeline company, which is a laudable goal, but in this case they were overly responsive to that schedule demand and failed to apply these safety requirements.
What specific remedy would you want? What change would you want? Not what order you want.
Would seek a remand to FERC.
What specifically would you want FERC?
When you get there, what are you going to want them to do?
We would specifically ask for this court to direct that the minimum safety requirements urged by the Federal Pipeline Safety Administration would be imposed on this plan absent good cause, and that in the
do that? I mean, you acknowledged a while ago that these minimum safety requirements are not even in regulations of the pipeline agency, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
They're not even regulations of that agency, let alone FERC. What authority do we have to direct FERC to employ particular safeguards?
As Your Honor knows, a federal agency can impose binding requirements in two ways. It can do it through a promulgated regulation in the CFR.
I have no doubt the agency can.
Or in site-specific.
That doesn't mean we can.
No, that's why we're saying it should be remanded for reevaluation of this, because there is not a good sound basis for FERC to have failed to impose these minimum requirements urged by the agency that had admitted superior expertise.
Can I ask you, in the rehearing order at paragraph 55, and I'm reading from the Joint Appendix 20, FERC said, "We again emphasize that the requirements in the construction and operations plan are in addition to what PHMSA may require." That doesn't seem to me to be referring simply to the regulations.
Your Honor,
this is an acknowledgement that PHMSA has broad authority here in telling them to comply with that, isn't it?
It's basically, I would say, Your Honor, a passing of the buck in saying that, that agency has some general regulatory authority. We assume it will carry it out in the future. When this permitting...
Isn't that what you want? I mean, I thought they were the great fallback here. They were
the great
arbiter of safety here, and FERC is saying, what they require, you have to do. So why doesn't that satisfy your concerns?
Because, Your Honor, this is the first case where FERC, to our knowledge, has ever knowingly cited a gas pipeline over an operating longwall mine, and they imposed on themselves the obligation to ensure that a plan would ensure protection of the pipeline integrity and operation of the longwall mine. This was the opportunity for those minimum safety requirements to be imposed in a binding manner in a site-specific license proceeding.
I see that as sort of an open-ended invitation to PHMSA to do what you want. What's wrong with that?
Your Honor, I think it's a passing of the buck to the Pipeline Safety Agency that does not have regulations specifically dealing with this circumstance.
Have you sought a regulatory proceeding from the Pipeline Agency?
We have sought meetings with them. This is the main proceeding that has...
petitioned them in any fashion for a rulemaking?
We have not petitioned them for a rulemaking, Your Honor.
Now, there is some other sort of litigation ongoing between these parties currently, is there not?
There's other litigation pending in the Sixth Circuit having to do with property rights infringement.
Thank you, counsel. Unless my colleagues have more questions, I think we have, once again, talked to counsel past the allotted time. We'll give you back a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. Holly Kafer for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Perhaps I should start with collaboration, since that seemed to be a source of concern. Murray, of course, has already conceded that they don't have either a flat veto or, if you look at their reply brief, a veto at all. That's fully consistent with the Commission's reasoning, which said that...
And to me, that's a remarkable concession, given what the condition 147 is. A stunning concession.
Well, let's keep in mind, the condition 147 says collaboration. The Commission found that that does not mean concurrence. In fact,
no, but your briefing made it sound like it only meant consult, and it doesn't mean consult. Yeah. The word consultation is used throughout these documents. Collaboration is used one place,
right.
147.
Think,
collaboration is different than consulting.
I think we can look at it as a continuum. You're right, that consultation on one end, concurrence on the other, collaboration somewhere in the middle. What the Commission found here is that there was an information exchange, so you might expect that in right. consultation, but that also Rockies Express responded to Murray's concerns by making changes in their plan. And that is not something that would necessarily
flow
from.
You have a very strong sentence. If the collaboration does not culminate in a plan, Rockies Express shall file with the Secretary for review and written approval by the Director of OEP an alternative pipeline route that avoids the Murray Company's coal reserves. That sounds like something over here very close to the
dictionary definition.
The dictionary definition, yeah. That doesn't sound anything close to consulting. That sounds like they've got, if they don't have a veto, they've got a pretty big hammer in their hand.
Even Murray has just said that what they had anticipated was a form of working together. And again, the exchange of information and
if
Rockies Express's response.
If they had not conceded that there was no veto, what would your argument have been?
My argument would have been the same, that collaboration is not concurrence. That is what the
Commission would have
said.
Done with that sentence that I just read to you?
That the collaboration shall culminate in a plan?
If the collaboration does not culminate in a plan, Rockies Express shall file with the Secretary for review and written approval an alternative pipeline route that avoids the Murray Company's coal reserve. It sounds like one of two things has to happen, either a plan coming out of the collaboration or an alternative route.
And a plan did come out of the collaboration. The collaboration didn't require mutual agreement. Concurrence requires mutual agreement. The Commission found here that this was not concurrence. Indeed, it used the word concurrence in the certificate order when it specifically wanted a landowner to be able to approve or veto a particular plan. It did not do that here, and the Commission's distinction between those two words is meaningful. That is what the Commission found in the rehearing order now on review. Collaboration is not concurrence. Like Murray said, they anticipated a working together relationship. There was an exchange of information. Rockies Express responded to Murray by making changes in the plan, adapted to the information that Murray responded to.
What were the changes that were made?
Let's see. I believe that Murray did provide information to Rockies Express about the level of overburden, the distance between the ceiling of the mine and the surface or the level of the pipeline. And Rockies Express updated its analysis in NIMIN 2009 to reflect that.
There was a change in the amount of overburden from, 18 to 30 inches or something?
Well, that's the depth of cover. That's actually another change that was made in response to concerns expressed by Murray. Originally, there had been a plan for, this is reflected in NIMIN 2007, a plan for 18 inches of cover in response to Murray's concern about potential uplift as a result of subsidence. Rockies Express made a change to use 30 inches. Of cover over the pipeline. That's the depth of cover is different from the overburden, which is the distance between the mine and the bottom of the pipe.
Counsel, I found it somewhat tedious to go through the careful examination of the evidence of the experts here, which is not, it seemed to me, it went to a level of detail we don't normally see on the Court of Appeals. But there was one point that counsel made, it seemed to me, was troubling. Is it fair to say that FERC relies on the substantive issue of the underlying safety on expressions of view of counsel rather than testimony of experts?
That is not fair to say. I believe Murray's counsel expressed concern about the references to the explanatory statement. First of all, the entirety of the construction and operations plan which includes the explanatory statement, was prepared by a collaboration of, not to use that word, but by a collaboration of Rockies Express's experts. There's no reason to believe that the explanatory statement was prepared by counsel, but in any event, the explanatory statement is replete with references to Nyman 2007 and the Francini and Golder reports, as well as is the actual substance of the plan in sections 5.1 and 5.2, most notably. So I don't think that there's any substance
there. That's not a fair characterization?
Not at all. Not at all. There was also a question about the, with regard to the collaboration, I do just want to go back and say, even if Murray had not conceded that they do not have a veto or a flat veto, and of course they did, the commission would not be able to give Murray or Rockies Express a veto over the plan. It's the commission that ultimately retains the authority to determine what is required to ensure public safety. So even if they were completely unable to talk to each other.
The circumstances here are significant, aren't they? I mean, it looks as if the commission was in a bit of a box because REX had sought approval for something without having done its homework, right? And so things are pretty far along, and it seems to me that the commission was trying to make the best of a bad situation because they had given approval to something without REX having disclosed something that was really quite critical. So they're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Well,
right?
Actually, I mean, if you look, I keep referring to Nyman 2007. In 2007, Rockies Express was analyzing the potential for the pipeline's response to longwall mining subsidence. The only thing that really came late was Murray's participation before the commission, which then resulted in changes to the final EIS. So, again, they came in before the final EIS. It wasn't long before, but the commission did make changes there. So there's no running catch-up here. What there is the commission in the certificate order found that what Rockies Express was proposing was enough, but wanted to give the parties an opportunity to work together, to collaborate, to come up with something that they could feel more comfortable with. And that's what they did here. The fact that Murray doesn't ultimately agree.
I missed that. Who could feel more comfortable with? You said they. I didn't catch who you were.
Rockies Express and Murray.
Well, that didn't happen, did it?
It didn't happen because Murray disagrees with some aspects of the plan, although not all of them. And like I said, Rockies Express did respond to and make changes in response to Murray's plan. But again, Murray doesn't have that veto. The commission cannot delegate its authority.
That's the commission's document that says if something had not resulted from the collaboration, that Rockies Express would have to file an alternate route.
Which does not mean that the commission would need to accept the alternate route. It means that the commission could consider what was required by the public safety, and ultimately the commission could have
could reject the alternate route.
It could, and say you need
the alternate route would be what it had before it for acceptance or rejection at that point.
It would be, but that does not.
It doesn't have to accept anything here. That's
exactly.
That's the baseline. What we're starting from now is what does condition 147 mean, and that condition is not something that is the parties. That's in the commission certificate.
Which is why the commission should get some deference from this court in interpreting the language.
No question they're going to get some deference. Just question how broad that deference is. You couldn't come in and say that red means green or black means white. You have to have some connection to the language, and that's what we're looking for. Now.
I believe there is a connection in the language with the distinction between collaborate and concurrence. If the commission had intended to say concurrence, it would have done that as it did in other places in the certificate order. If it had intended to say consultation, it would have done that. Again, it didn't do that. It required something in the middle. There was an exchange of information and a response to Murray's concerns. Clearly, not all of their concerns have been satisfied, but ultimately, it's up to the commission to decide what's required for public safety here, and that's what the commission did. I should probably move on to what the commission did with respect to the Department of Transportation's requirements. Just to clear up any confusion, what the commission said is, and you can see this in particular at JA7, paragraph 12, JA16, JA20, is that Rockies Express must comply with anything the Department of Transportation requires. It's not for the commission to say what the Department of Transportation might deem necessary. Indeed, we might be under different circumstances in a different case if the commission attempted to incorporate or somehow enforce the Department of Transportation's requirements. They have their own independent statutory authority, and it's not for the commission to step on their toes, essentially.
And you'd certainly get no deference to whatever you did with that.
Well, we didn't do anything with it, is the point. We consulted with them and got the benefit of what they would think would be required. But it's at a future point when mining activity goes forward directly under the pipeline that will be dealt with. And that's the same setup that's under the construction and operations plan that the commission itself approved. So going forward, we'll have both the commission and the Department of Transportation looking at what the site-specific mitigation measures will be at the time that Murray moves forward with mining under the pipeline route. And so I should just clarify that any suggestion that the commission is somehow playing a game and saying that only the Department of Transportation's regulations need to be complied with is obviously not supported by the orders. On the question of the remedy, the commission reserves the authority, I think, as we've just discussed, to require a reroute of the pipeline or to impose additional safeguards. In particular, I can reference you to the certificate order at JA 314, condition number 2. I believe that's all I have. If there are no further questions.
Seeing none, I thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Counsel, at this time, we'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal. Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. I tend to overlook interveners sometimes, counsel. I'm sorry.
They're collaborating with each other.
You
thank you, Chief Judge Santel. Actually, I'm here at your request. We did not request time to make an argument, but I would like to make a couple of points. First, Rockies Express is a pipeline in full operation delivering natural gas to Clarington, Ohio. We are regulated continually by both the PHMSA, Department of Transportation, and by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So the concept that FERC has somehow passed the buck on the implementation of the safety requirements of the Pipeline Safety Act is erroneous. The fact is that during the collaboration, the Murray companies never made any effort whatsoever to engage an expert with respect to the conduct of the pipeline in response to subsidence. Yes, they had experts with respect to subsidence and to mining, but never engaged an expert that had any meaningful experience with respect to what does the pipeline do in response. That is the work of Mr. Franzini and Dr. Nyman in great detail, Your Honor, as you noted. The collaborative process, you inquired about that, Judge Griffith. The commission uses what I call the three C's in their certificate. We have collaboration, we have consultation, and we have concurrence. I think that the commission is well aware of the meaning of each of those terms and what's contemplated by it. We had numerous meetings with the Murray companies, and the collaborative process was extremely useful. Yes, there was much greater detail presented to us during those meetings by Murray. Indeed, the original map that Murray Energy officials gave to Rockies back in December 2006 and in early 2007 was withdrawn and substituted, and we were told it was the wrong map. They then provided us with digitized maps during the process so that we could more precisely plot our route over the top of their mines and the panels as they saw them laid out at that point in time. Murray itself, as we've noted, admonished us that the panels and the layout can change over time. And the amount of time that Murray will take to mine all of these panels through these several miles could be in excess of 10 years. They mined one panel during our construction this past summer. We did accommodate them. We did not use any blasting. We brought in rock trenchers and avoided any blasting for the safety of the miners and the continuation of their mining their coal. So while the collaboration was to result in a plan, it was a plan that would permit Murray to mine their coal unimpeded and for us to maintain the integrity of the pipeline. And we believe that the expert reports and the continuing work of the pipeline industry demonstrates clearly that we can do both, and that the pipeline industry and the coal industry collaborates and works together throughout this country and has for over half a century. And we submit to the court that the Murray Energy petition here has no merit. They could have engaged pipeline experts to fully inform the record in a different way. But to say that Rockies is no longer regulated, that we are not subject to the direct regulation of PHMSA, is erroneous.
Thank you, counsel. Since there's been an intervener, I'll give you 3 minutes for rebuttal, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of quick points. Counsel for the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission said the only thing that came late was Murray's participation in this process. That's not a fair characterization. Murray was engaged in its business of mining coal. This pipeline was a process that was responsibility of FERC and the Rockies Express Pipeline. It was a regulatory obligation of Rockies Express under the FERC regulations to identify geohazards, including mining subsidence areas. It failed in that regulatory duty. FERC then repeated that false or erroneous characterization that there were no active mines in the pipeline route in the draft EIS of November 23, 2007. Murray commented on this on the draft EIS by January 23, 2008. Council for Interveners, Murray's experts, as noted in the record, had undisputed experience with subsidence of gas pipelines and had clear experience with the required mitigation measures to prevent rupture and explosion of pipelines, which then was corroborated by the Federal Pipeline Safety Agency. Unlike the experts for Rockies Express, which had a lot of pipeline experience, but no actual experience with the hazards of longwall mining, other than Dr. Ping, who expressed an opinion that the pipeline would fail to withstand the stresses. Now, this issue is not moot in any way, Your Honors. We have a map in the record at Joint Appendix 890. This is a map showing the pipeline route running right through the heart of the active mining operations. This map is in the record and uncontested. Also shows the permitted area. This is permitted by the state of Ohio for longwall mining. We have additional panels of coal reserves that are to be mined in the near future. And the question of what safety requirements will apply is very much a live issue. So that is in no way a moot controversy. And a remand on that issue would provide very important, significant relief and protect Murray's miners as well as the public safety. On the issue of just what the collaboration requirement meant in the permit, in the certificate conditions, as we've said in our briefs, we stand by the plain, literal language of that condition 147. The question of whether it rises to a veto power or not is really a semantic difference as to just what a veto power would be. We stand by the plain language that collaboration was required, and that absent collaboration, Rockies Express had a duty to submit absent collaboration culminating in a plan, Rockies Express had a duty to submit an alternate pipeline route. That is also not moot. A minor adjustment around these coal reserves could still be made, and even FERC in its final environmental impact statement acknowledged that.
You seem to be taking a new position on rebuttal now. In that regard.
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor. We've been standing by the plain language of the collaboration language in our briefs and all along. We're simply not saying
in
that we.
In your brief, you specifically say you're not asserting you had a veto.
Not a veto power that would have no basis whatsoever, Your Honor.
No. You don't have a veto. And you agreed that here you don't have a veto. Your
Honor, what we are saying is that we are governed by the plain language of the condition, and the condition requires collaboration, and we think that collaboration did not occur, And the record wouldn't support that. There was only one meeting between the companies.
Judge Sentell said this is different from what the argument you made just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Can't make two different arguments.
Specifically what you wanted. You really didn't say you wanted an alternative route. You said you wanted better safety safeguards.
Well, Your Honor.
Now you seem to be arguing for an alternative route.
Well, Your Honor, I think our briefs have been clear, and I have intended to be clear, that a remand would consider the safety requirements, and if a suitable plan was not developed, then an alternative route could still be set and still is a live option.
I ask your time again, so unless my colleagues have further questions, the case will be submitted, and we take recess.